Join me in prayer if you would. Our Father in heaven, El Padre Eterno en Cielo, we come before you this evening. Thank you so much for your mercy, your love, your kindness for us, and for the plan that you and Jesus Christ, which was the Word before he became flesh, have planned since the foundation and before the world began as we know it and was created. And we appreciate that, knowing what the ultimate outcome of that is. Father, help us to use this time effectively in seeking your will and learning from you as we study the very living, breathing, inspired word that you have had enabled to be able to be recorded for our edification and use. We pray you'll be here this evening. Stay the hand of our adversary and his minions, please, and pray the transmission will go well. Please be with everyone that's on here and bless them with peace and encouragement. And so we turn this over to you as we continue through the book of Judges this evening, and thank you. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are in Judges chapter 15. And give me just a second. I need to do a quick count here. Okay, I got to make a note. For my records. This year is buzzing by. It won't be long, and we will be through 2025. Ah, hang on. Somebody just came in. Bear with me. Apologize for this, but. Okay. All right. Let's go to Judges chapter 15. And we'll begin in verse 1. And after a while, in the time of the wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. I never came with a goat to Gale, so that's a good thing. And he said, "Let me go into my wife into her room." But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, "I really thought you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion." And if you read the rest of verse 2, "Is it not her younger sister fairer than she is? Take her, I pray you, instead of her." Well, interesting as we're going to go through and watch what unfolds with this mess. So, a little while later, and we're going to read all of this, Samson decided he was going to go and make up. So he found out that his wife was now living with somebody else in a really fine situation he'd gotten himself involved with, which is one of the things that Samson had some major problems and issues with. So now he gets mad again. And when he got mad, he was ready to take vengeance. In verse 3, "And Samson said concerning them, 'Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines?'" Let me translate that. Now I'm going to go and get even with them for pulling this thing. In verse 4 and 5, "And Samson went and he caught 300 foxes," or some translations say like jackals, "and he took firebrands," or torches, if you want to call them that, "and he turned them tail to tail. And he put a firebrand in the midst between the tails and tied them together." And this is when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go to the standing corn of the Philistines, and he burned up both the shocks, the standing corn, with the vineyards and the olives. So we got a real fine thing going on here. So the Philistines, go figure, why not, were mad. And you have this kind of strife going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Almost reminds me of the political things going back and forth between the Republicans and the Democrats. I try to avoid it like the plague. Back and forth, slinging dirt, accusations. I learned as a kid that when you sling dirt or you throw dirt, you lose ground. I'll let you think about that one. Now, verse 6. Then the Philistines said, "Who did this? You see these foxes freaked out, running around, trying to get their tails apart. Their tails are on fire, spinning every which way." It was probably quite comical, part of it, if it wasn't so sad. And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion." And the Philistines came up and they burnt her and her father with fire. Standard of conduct at that time. There's nobody in charge. Everybody does what he wants. It's pretty crazy. And verse 7, "And Samson said unto them, Though you have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh." That simply means, that's a statement from Old English, he smote them with great confusion with what he was doing, with a great slaughter. He was whooping people so bad they didn't even know who was being whooped. Sort of remind me of the time when put out a bowl of boiled okra on the back porch and the two dogs started to eat it and it went through them so quick they didn't know what they were fighting about, completely confused. And so he said, "Here's what's going to happen." And with a great slaughter, he went down, he dwelt on the top of the Rock Etam, or a cleft. Then the Philistines went up and they pitched in Judah and they spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah, now this is interesting as we go through this, and I'll make some comments as we go through here. The Philistines went up, pitched in Judah and Lehi, and the men of Judah said, "Why are you coming up against us?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he's done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah, no small conflagration here. So here's what's interesting. Israel had accepted the rulership of the Philistines over them. And you see, as we go through here, Samson still using his strength for his own gain, his own lust. And so 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the Rock Etam and said to Samson, "Do you know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that you've done to us? What are you thinking? They rule us." And as he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." Verse 12. "And they said unto him, We are come down to bind you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said, Swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourself." So verse 12 is a verse where Samson's countrymen tell him they have come to arrest him and hand him over to the Philistines. And Samson asks them to swear they will not kill him themselves. And they agree to just bind him and deliver him to the Philistines. So tie him up. The agreement is the men tell Samson they will bind him with new ropes, but will not kill him, and he agrees to this condition. The betrayal, they bind him with two new ropes and take him from the rock to Lehi. And then the result, as they approach Lehi, the Philistines shout at him, and what? The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. The ropes on his arms become, like it says, burnt flax, and they break free. So we're watching this take place as the Spirit of the Lord comes mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon him, they just, like as if burnt with fire, fell off his hands. In verse 15, "And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey." You know, there's something interesting about bone when it's fresh. If you've ever, like I have, butchered a deer or a cow or a sheep, and the bones are really hard. And when they dry out, they're still hard, but they're more brittle, and not this one. So here he finds a brand new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand. He reaches out his hand, he takes it, and he kills 1,000 men. Now, I think it would be enough just to be able to kill one with the jawbone of a donkey. And probably the teeth were entailed. And, you know, I just, man, really heavy. be like wielding some kind of battle axe. Verse 16. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone, he just threw it out of his hand, and he called that place Ramoth Lehi, which means a hilltop with where jawbone is. Pretty original name there. And he was sore thirsty, was very thirsty. Would you be thirsty after killing 1,000 men? I would think so. He called on the Lord and he said, you have given me this great deliverance in the hand of your servant. Now am I going to die because I'm thirsty and fall into the hand of these uncircumcised Philistines? But God carved a hollow place that was in the jaw. And there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name there En-Hakkore, which means the well when I cried out, something to that effect, which is Lehi unto this day. At verse 20, a lot of people read right over that, but and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. He's the final one mentioned, by the way, in the book of Judges, is Samson. And he judged Israel in the days of Philistine 20 years. So now we go to chapter 16. That was probably the fastest you've been through a chapter in a while. In chapter 16, then Samson went to Gaza and he saw a harlot there and he went into her. What a great example, right? This was the way he was. Anything that was female, Samson wanted it. And so here we see he directly goes against what God would want him to do. Verse 2 and 3. And when the Gazites were told, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and they laid in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were all quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it's daylight, we're going to kill him. And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city on the two gateposts, pulled them up, bars and all, put them on his shoulders, and as Gail mentioned last time, carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. I think I would have had difficulty carrying just maybe the bar, or much less. So he tears off the gates when they try to lock him up, and we know the story. And so now let's start and go continue. Verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. I like to say he meets up with delightful Delilah. Although Gail and I know somebody who used the word delightful way too much. I think Harry and Lorna know him too. But delightful Delilah, and again, the same old thing. So we go through, continue, and the lords of the Philistines come up unto her and said unto her, entice Samson and see where his great strength lies and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, to humble him, and we will give you every one of his 1,100 pieces, us, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. That's about $700 to $800. That was a lot of money. A lot of money. And I've had a saying that every person has their price. You may say, well, I don't. I've watched it for decades in business, in the church. Every man or woman, if they're paid enough money, will at least consider it, if not do it. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I beg of you, wherein thy great strength lies, and where have you might be bound to afflict you? What can we do? And Samson said, he was smart enough to figure out what she was doing. Again, you have to look at how Samson thinks. And here we go again for his own gain, his own lust. If they bind me with seven green or moist or bowstrings, if you will, if you've ever made a bowstring, that were never dried, then I will be weak and I'll be as any other person. Then the lords of the Philistines brought her up seven of these who had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Got him just when he was sleeping or whatever, bound him up. Maybe he let her. Who knows? There were men lying in wait, abiding with her in a chamber. And she said unto them, "The Philistines be upon you, Samson." And he jumped up and he broke at the thread like they were a thread when he touched, if it touched a fire. So his strength was not known. So they were probably pretty torqued off. And I think it's humorous that this whole thing. And Delilah said unto Samson, "You mock me. You made fun of me and you told me lies. Now, I beg of you, I ask you, how can we bind you so you can't get out?" Sorry about that. Just somebody's trying to come in. I gotta get distracted a minute. And he said unto her, "If you bind me with new ropes that were never occupied, never used, then I shall be weak and be as any other man." And Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said, "The Philistines are upon you." And Samson, and there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber. And he broke them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said, Again, you've mocked me, and you told me lies. Tell me where you might be bound." She's not real bright. I'm not going to add to this story. You can read between the lines. And he said unto her, "Okay, all right, I'm sorry for messing around here. If you weave the seven locks of my head with the web." So he says, "You got to add the hair in my head and weave it in with the ropes and all this stuff." She fastened it with the pin and said, "The Philistines are upon you." And Samson, he awoke out of his sleep and he went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. Now, Samson, if he was smart, Samson, if he was smart, what he would have done is he would have said, "Get out of here." He would have recognized what type of character she was, she had. And if he'd had the proper character, he should have said, "I'm not going to be a husband to someone who's doing this. Three times is a charm, three times in a row." It's a good example of how you and I, if we're not careful, we can lose the vision of what we should be doing in life, in our worship of God, and how we live. Yet we get distracted by what? And we keep trying, and God tries to get our attention. But so then she gets really, really pretty tough here. She says, "How can you say you love me when my heart is not with, when your heart isn't with me? You have mocked me these three times, and then you haven't told me wherein your great strength lies." All right. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so his soul was vexed unto death. He was tired of her on and on and on, and she wouldn't stop. The lesson is, one of them, don't nag on your husband. And definitely don't do it the way she's doing it, be deceptive. For false reasons like this, this is not acceptable. It's not godly. And so he told her all his heart, and he said unto her, "Oh, I love you so much. I'm sorry there has not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If you shave my head, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." He wasn't the brightest stick in the stack. Because after three times, would he not have said, "Take a hike, lady. You're trying to do me in." She probably blinked her eyes just right, however she looked at him, and he just fell apart. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called to the lords of the Philistines, say, "Come this once, for he has showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. So she said, "Okay, now We got him. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. He was either a deep sleeper or drinking something to be this out of it. But he did. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you again." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." But he didn't realize what? God's spirit that had been doing this was gone. What's the lesson there? We need to be really careful. I think 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "He who stands, take heed lest you fall." You may be going along just great, thinking you're doing everything just right, and God's with you, and God's behind it, and God's in what you're doing. And you find out all of a sudden, Now, how can this relate to each one of us in our daily lives? So, I don't need to study my Bible very much. I'm tired, my job, my stress. I don't need to pray much. I'll just go to church. I'll listen to a good sermon, have a potluck, rub everybody's arms and go home and live my week out, week after week. And one day, maybe not very quickly, maybe quickly, nothing just seems to go right. And it doesn't get better. And you keep going to church and you smile. But your own relationship isn't through your church or your friends, folks. It needs to be with the creator of this universe. And our Father, he may let it go. But when you all of a sudden realize it was not that the Lord, he didn't understand, God had left him. And I've watched this. I've been through it, and I've watched people do it over and over, and they're still doing it. Oblivious until, what does the scripture say? God says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What do you mean? I went to church every week. I was part of this church or that church. Well, you never studied. You never prayed to me hardly at all. You didn't know me. I don't know you. And there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can read it in the Gospels. Well, that doesn't apply to me. That doesn't apply to you. It can. And so Samson here is like, what in the world? So we're watching this story take place. So his hair is cut, and now God allows him to learn a lesson. Verse 21. Then the Philistines took him, and they put his eyes out, and they brought him down to Gaza. And they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. So they took Samson. They burnt his eyes out, which is how they did it. They took a hot piece, an object, and just burned their eyes right out all the way in. So it would sear all the flesh, so there'd be no massive bleeding. And you don't recover from that. And they didn't give him glass eyes back then, so they looked a little better. For a period of time, they tied him up to a gristmill, like an ox, and he pushes this thing around and he grinds the grain. And while he's in this state, undoubtedly, he had a lot of time to think. I must have said something funny. A lot of time to think. What'd I say, Eric? What's funny? What'd I say? Help me out here.
I was saying it would be horrible to get flies in there. Just irritating. You know, you'd be trying to keep flies from flying in your little, your pits there.
Thank you, Eric. Okay, I asked. All right. And so he had a lot of time to think. He couldn't even look at anything. He was blind and tied up. All he could do was walk in a circle all day long, pushing his big, heavy stone around and around and around. And he didn't have the same strength he had when God's spirit would arouse him. If you've ever seen one of these old grist mills, they had a grinding stone, one on top of another. They'd have a post attached to it and would usually have an ox that would simply walk around and around. So they tied up Samson to it. And just imagine going in a circle, hour after hour, day after day, grinding grain, blind, day in and day out, month in and month out. How much time would you have to think? Verse 22. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Duh. Okay, so it was a while. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god. And if I remember right, that's that big fish god, that ugly thing. And to rejoice, for they said, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." Ta-da! And when the people saw him, they praised their God, small g, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew so many of us." Verse 25. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." We want to have some fun with this clown. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. So they finally here bring him in, and they're going to make him perform for them. Verse 26. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Permit me that I may feel the pillars where the house stands, that I may lean upon them. Guide my hands so I can put them on. I know where the pillars are, so I can feel them." Verse 27. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, the leaders, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that were there while Samson was giving them a spectacular show as they watched him, and they cheered, and they drank, and they ate, slapped each other on the back. They were rejoicing. So all the leadership of the Philistines was in the temple. Verse 28. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I ask. Strengthen me, I ask, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistine for my two eyes." It appears Samson had come to a point of repentance. There was probably more said. And so God gave him the strength. He pushes, and what happens? Collapses the temple. He took hold in verse 29 of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and was borne up, and the one with his right hand, the other with his left. And ultimately, here we see Samson doing what God called him to do. Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the leaders and upon all the people that were in, so that the dead which he slew at his death were more than all those which he slew in his life. Wow. Just, this thing is pretty cool. All this going on. This really runs the story as God gives him the strength, as he pushes the two supports out, the whole roof falls, everybody's slaughtered. It puts a stop, at least temporarily, to the power of the Philistines, but it runs the story in terms of chronology through Samson, who was a contemporary with Samuel. And we'll pick that story up in Samuel when we get there. In verse 31, then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burial place of Manoah, his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. So we now see the climation of this story. And Judges 17, which we're now just an overview of mention, Judges 17 through 21 give us some insights into what's going on, and there's several different things take place. In chapter 17, it talks about a man from Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. In verse 2, and he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, about which you cursed and spake of on my ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. His mother said, Blessed be you of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I wholly dedicated the silver to the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image. In this great, here we go again, in a molten image, thou therefore I will restore it unto you. So he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels. Bear with me here. And he gave them to the, okay, he's restored the money to his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. Verse 5. And the man Micah had a house of gods and made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. I tell you, the stories here, wow, what can we learn as we go through this? Let's keep reading. Verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right according to his own eyes. Similar, Judges 21:25, the exact quote. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8 talks about this approach, this liberal approach. We'll decide what's right. And we're watching that still going on in society, in the church of God, in people's lives. We'll decide what's best for us. God says this is what you should do. We'll decide. We know better. And we just mope right along and follow along. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. He came to Mount Ephraim in the house of Micah as he journeyed. And so Micah in verse 9 said, Where do you come from? And he said, I'm a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I might find a place. So Micah decided he was going to hire a priest, and he met up with this fellow, a Levite. And Micah said to him, Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes, and your sustenance. So the Levite went in. Why wouldn't he? Well, here's what we're going to see, and it doesn't work this way, folks. Here he was going to hire a preacher for himself. It shows you the situation. Boy, I'm going to be in good shape now. I'm going to have a Levite being my priest. Woohoo! Thankfully, nobody does this anymore. Yes, we do. But if I say anything, someone will, oh, I can't believe you said that. And back in verse 5, so this man Michael had a shrine, and he made an ephod, and he household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. So he had made these little idols. He had his sons doing the job, but when he saw a real live Levite come along, he thought, well, I'll just hire one of these. And I really have to bite my tongue because there's so many things I could say right here. But for those that have eyes to see, pay attention, folks, in your spiritual lives, what's going on. Your relationship must be with his father and his son. Don't just blindly go along and just follow what you've always followed and say, it's going to be okay, everything's fine. I'll decide. I know what I'm doing. Da 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 da. Samson had to learn a very, very profound, horrible lesson. Believe me, having your eyes poked out, burned out, going through what he did. But he had issues. He had problems. He had major things. God, his mother dedicated him to serve God. And what happened? I probably know the way from what we read with Samson, he probably thought he was okay. So he had this little problem of women and lusting and bragging about his power and a few little things like that. And he didn't particularly like Philistines. God didn't either. And God used him for a purpose. But did he learn from all that? Do we learn from what we go through? The book of Judges is filled with multiple examples, I believe, for each one of us for self introspection, evaluation. We don't beat ourselves up, but we need to stop playing religion and church, folks. But sometimes we don't necessarily want to do that because we're comfortable, we're happy, and we've always been where we are. And when God gives us opportunities to wake up, like he did Samson multiple times, Micah here, there's nothing Micah did that was godly. Even when he hired the priest, did the Levite, the priest, know everything? I doubt it. He probably didn't tell him everything. Human nature is an abysmal mess. And we need to understand that of and by ourselves with our own thinking, we're going to be just like Samson and just like Micah. And so if we're not in that relationship, understanding and striving to do what God says, no man has the authority to overwrite what God says. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. There's a lot of that going on still, sadly. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up for a few minutes here. And we'll start in Judges chapter 18 next time. And we might, let me see, we may or may not, we should, we'll see. See how far we get next time. But I want to open it up for any comments or thoughts related to, if we can, around what we discussed tonight. Previously, maybe if there's some from previous nights we had the discussion, if you have something edifying or profound that you've studied or would like to share, that's fine too. But I'll open it up and you'll need to unmute your mic and raise your hand and wiggle your nose.
I have a comment about Samson's downfall. Just a series of comments in verse 21 and 22.
I found this on the web.
I don't want Siri to tell me. Samson had his eyes put out, and I think this was why God got, because Samson's eyes were his downfall because he lusted after women. So God took them out. I suppose something for us to think about, that whatever keeps us going away from God, that if we don't correct it, God may take it away from us somehow. Hopefully not that bad. But also, I always imagine that this grinding that Samson did was pushing this bar and turning that millstone around and around. Well, I did some study on it, and that type of industrial grindstone wasn't invented until the 4th century BC. Samson was alive between, well, one place said 1118 to 1078, so around the 1000-year mark. So the industrial mill wasn't invented till like 700 years later. So this was just a small grinding stone. So some of them I saw were about this big that they would turn or move, turn in a circle. And this was women's work. So this was really degrading for Samson because this type of work was always done by slaves and by women. And so Samson was about as low as he could get. And it mentions that he was bound with brass fetters. And generally, slaves like this type or imprisoned were bound with leather fetters. So they were doubly. They were doubly making sure that he didn't get away by using brass fetters as opposed to leather. And in verse 22, it mentions that his hair starts to grow. And I think this God had taken Samson down about the bottom. And when his hair started to grow, I think it's mentioned because that was a symbol of his relationship, supposedly, with God and how God had was with him. So when his hair started to grow, Samson, I think it's saying that Samson was turning towards God and God was, or he was learning to listen to God at that time. And okay, and yep, that's about, I think I covered everything I wanted to cover there.
Got anybody else?
Wonder why the people that didn't they know that it was his hair, and why didn't they keep track of that to keep him bald so that he wouldn't get his power back?
Because they're stupid and
Yeah.
they're not God,
That
they don't worship God, and Philistines are uncircumcised spiritually and physically. So it's like they had no clue.
and
And
criminals aren't
so
always the most smart people.
no, I mean, have you ever asked yourself with the stuff going on now, how can these people be this stupid? How can they be this stupid?
It's a disease.
And it's like, duh, common sense is not common.
Yeah, for sure.
I watched a video, and this is not a political statement, it's just fact. It's so ridiculous. I watched a video, I obviously, it wasn't a real one, but it was a made-up one, a parody, where this guy walks into a delicatessen in New York, New York, Kathy, and he walks in and he says, "I'll take this, this, this." And the guy comes and he says, "Okay, how much is it?" He says, "Nothing. Everything's free now." And he says, "What do you mean?" He says, "No, it's yours." He said, "Well, can I go over to the cooler and get a 12-pack of this and that, some cheese?" He said, "Yeah, everything's free now in New York. We got a new, leader. Everything's free. Woohoo! I'm going to tell everybody about this place." And you look at it and you have to laugh, but there are people that really believe, just like, if I might, this is not a political statement, but you remember those stimulus checks we got back whenever? I told people, this ain't free. There's no free lunch. They're not giving. How do we print money when we don't have enough to, But people laughed at me and said, "Oh, it's great, man. I'm going to buy this and buy this, and I'm going out to eat," and clueless right over their head. So it's okay. All right. And you look at the decisions people do, things they do, and I scratch my head. I look at what I do sometimes and I scratch my head and say, What was I thinking? The problem is we weren't thinking. So the Philistines, when his hair started to grow, which Gail read that from a commentary, it's a possibility. But I will tell you this, when his hair started to grow, if you read up on Nazirite vows, if they would have been even 1% IQ, they would have thought, long hair, Nazirite vows, strength, look what he did before. His hair's growing back. Shave it back off, right? No, because they were too busy drinking and slapping each other on the back and saying, "Ah, look what we've done to this guy. This is great. Finally, our gods have destroyed this man of God." So, yeah, Kathy, that's my thought, but I don't know. I've known some Philistines in my life. I will say that.
It's amazing how God let him continue to be the judge of Israel for those years, even the way he was.
Well, Joe's going to make a comment on that, or Eric, the two scholars here, they're going to make a comment on that.
Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to talk about the foxes.
What about him?
Have you ever tried to catch a fox?
Have
Just
you ever
one?
tried tying their tails together?
Have you
They've
ever
got to
tried
be
to
pretty
tie?
wily.
I mean, they're really fast
They're very fast.
and stealthy, and try to catch one of those. And he went out and caught 300. How long did it take him to do that?
He was Superman. He can run real fast.
Maybe he was the Flash too.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, don't get too logical and too
Well,
objective thinking here and analyze how he did that, Joe, because
you can't really figure out how he did that, but think of, I mean, It's amazing that he was able to do this. He must have been really mad.
Or
I mean,
God really
really mad.
God gave him the power to
Maybe God brought in the foxes, just like Noah. The animals came to the ark.
Yeah,
Maybe the
did they
foxes
come two
came to
by
him.
two and seven pair of clean foxes and
Yes.
one pair of unclean?
Right, but I was thinking, I had this thought, and this is not some great spiritual thing, but I'm like, he must have had, I think about time and how much time it takes for us to do all the things that we do. And he had some time to go out and do this, He was able to go out and catch 300 foxes.
Do you remember
It's,
the show Sanford and Son?
yeah.
You know what Red Fox would have said about these foxes? You big dummy.
Hey, one thing
Yeah.
is obviously he wasn't spending a lot of time being a judge, so he was out chasing foxes and everything else to and
Well, he
women.
went from chasing a fox with two legs to foxes with four legs.
Yes. Well, he had his issues and his problems, but I thought that was, it's amazing when you think about the what it took to do that.
How did he tie their tails together without getting bitten and make them stand still long enough to tie them together and put a firebrand between them?
So I mean,
Someday in the kingdom, we'll get to watch that movie.
yeah, really. But each of these, I would say each of these instances, they were, we look at the man Samson, and he's, we're looking at him saying, don't you have any sense, right? Like with the thing with Delilah. I mean, the man had no sense, right? After three times, he should realize she's trying to really do you in, but it's time to go. It's time for you not to be there now because she wants you dead.
She railroaded him. How many of
Yeah.
us, in life go along thinking we're doing everything we're supposed to do? We know how to do it. We got it figured out. We're obeying God. And we just keep going along. And different things keep happening. But we're like, no, we're doing what God says in our according to what we think. In those days, every man did that which was right. All these examples are every one of these people we've been watching. They did what was right in their own eyes. And so God says, to Gail's point, we're going to take your eyes out. So maybe you can't tell what's right anymore. Okay? There's lots of lessons we can read right over. Sometimes we go out and we get all the foxes together. We go to all the work to do something. The outcome is what we wanted. But is it something God wants? There's another lesson. There's just all kinds of them in here. So, yeah, Joe, I don't think I'm going to help you. I've watched foxes out in my yard in the back, and I don't think I want to try to catch one, much less 300. And, I just don't think that's my cup of tea. But. All
Well,
right.
another thought on the fox and the time of year. It said it was the wheat harvest, and then later on it says he burnt up the stalks, the shocks, the standing corn, the vineyards, and the olives. So, since it was the wheat harvest, we all know that when they harvest wheat, there's lots of straw and it's dry and brown. And so, those foxes get out there. That was a tinderbox. Time,
Oh
it would have
yeah.
been a blaze.
It makes it sound as if he burnt up a significant amount of their harvest, which would have been a serious thing back then, because that was, they didn't have Kroger.
Yeah, that would have been all their
Yeah.
years' worth of, or at least that
Yeah.
area, all their fruits and vegetables for the year.
Yeah.
I feel bad for his wife and her father, they got burned, I guess, put on a stake or whatever, I don't know.
And knowing Samson, he probably said, "Burn, baby, burn."
Ooh.
Remember that song? Yeah. Ar. Well,
Deep subject.
I would ask all of you to read at least Judges 18, 19, and 20 next time, so you'll kind of know as we go back over it where we are,
Okay.
not where we're at, which is incorrect English, but where we are. And Jackie, I hope you warm up tomorrow. Is it going to warm up after the little frigid thing? Good. Yeah. Okay. And let me see. Looking at everybody here. Okay. I appreciate all of you being on. Any other final comments before we finish for tonight? Okay, I'm gonna once after I close in prayer, if you want to stay on, I've got a couple other comments, but I don't want those on the recording. So, but you don't have to if you don't want to. But who prayed last time and ended? Who prayed closed last night? You remember?
I think I did.
You think you did? Okay. Well, guess what, Gail? It's your turn. So we'll ask Miss Gail to close in prayer tonight.
Our most heavenly Father, thank you for another successful Bible study. Thank you for giving us your word that we can study and learn from it daily. Unlike so many of those that we read about in the Bible who could not hold a Bible in their hands, had to go to the synagogue and, if then, only hear it. But it is a great blessing. Help us to cherish it, to learn from it, to keep it foremost in our minds, to continually look to you for direction and understanding. Please be with those that are unable to be with us, and pray that they can be back with us again next time and be with those that are sick and ill. And Father, we pray that you'll continue to help us to stay close to you and to be aware of these significant times that we are in, that we can stay connected with you and not become like so many during the time of the judges. We ask this, ask for your dismissal and be with us that we all can return again next week. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.